Evening, everyone. This is N2NOB with the Shortwave and Scanner Listeners Net. We're going to stand by for an emergency or priority traffic before we continue this evening. Okay, nothing heard. Good evening, everyone. This is N2NOV. And the name is Charles on Staten Island in New York City. I'd like to welcome you all to the weekly Shortwave and Scanner Listeners Net. It's heard on the N2ROW link repeater system every Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. local time. The purpose of the net is to provide a general discussion forum for those who are interested in the different aspects of the radio monitoring hobby. We cover everything that you can tune into from DC through light, except for amateur radio. That's because we can talk about amateur radio at other times during the week, so we reserve this time for everything else. On this net, we will discuss who is on these various frequencies, what equipment you need to tune them in, where you can find information, anything to help to make the hobby a little bit more enjoyable for you. Each week that this net has been running since March of 1992, it has a different flavor because it's all dependent upon who checks in and what topics they want to discuss. We have some basic ground rules for this net. One, since this is a linked repeater system of about a dozen different repeaters in the tri-state area, your best bet is to go to the repeater website, which is www.n2row.net. Find the repeater system which is closest to where you are and use that to get in. And because it is linked, when you do key up, you need to pause for about a second or two before you start to talk. Otherwise, the beginning part of your transmissions will get cut off. And then we'll have to make you repeat what you said. For those who are checking in on the air, we ask that you give your call sign, name, and location. And please indicate if you have any traffic for the net. And by traffic, we mean any comments or questions that you want to share with everyone else. If you don't have any traffic, please say, no traffic. And this way we know to move on to the next person. If you're not able to get into the repeaters for either technical problems, you're too far away from the repeater, or you may not have your amateur radio license yet, you can still participate by sending an email. And the email address for this net is nyzxa@yahoo.com. So at this point, we'll stand by for check-ins. Please space it out so people are not stepping on each other, and we get everybody checked in. This is F2NLP.
Good evening. WA2SQQ, Bob in Elmwood Park. No traffic at the moment, and I'll be checking email.
K2GLW, Gordon in Manhattan, no traffic.
To LAE, Phil, Nassau County, with traffic. This is... And 1MLZ, Bob, Beaufort, Connecticut, with traffic.
If you have a second radio or a scanner and an earplug, turn it to the output of the repeater. This way you can hear how you sound going into it. But we're still not getting it. Okay, so far I have WH2SQQ, K2GLW, W2LIE, and N1MLZ. Anybody else?
Kilo Charlie 2, Mike Hotel Yankee, in the mobile on my birthday. I'm just checking in. Over.
So Bravo 2, Victor Bravo Yankee.
Okay, KC2MHY Mobile and Victor Bravo Yankee, you cut off at the beginning.
Yes, Kilo Bravo 2, Victor Bravo Yankee.
Okay, KB2VBY, any traffic?
A negative, we're up in the Yonkers area.
Okay, copy your Yonkers. Do you have any traffic for the net?
Negative.
Okay, anybody else?
WA2IWC, Midtown Manhattan, no traffic.
Number 2, Oscar Victor Quebec, Robert DeBrosse, no traffic.
Okay, we also have WA2IWC and N2OBQ. All right, we'll take the list as we have it now, and we'll pick up additional check-ins later on. Again, if you're not able to get into the repeater for whatever problems you might have, use the email, and the email address is nybxa@yahoo.com. So, let's go over the list. Bob, W2SQQ, you're the first one up. How was your trip last week, and what do you got new cooking in New Jersey? And Tornado.
Charlie, good evening to everybody. My trip was good. Eventful, good weather, except for the drive home from Virginia. A lot of rain, but it was good. And that's about it, really. I saw something, actually two things today related to the migration over to digital television that kind of caught my eye. Number one is that LG and Samsung have partnered together, and yesterday they made an announcement. The broadcast industry seems to be having a new interest in the migration over to digital television, and some of the industry experts are saying that they're going to scale back on the amount of high-def television over the air, and what they're going to be doing is actually starting to use a new mobile digital TV standard. Hang on a second. What they actually have is some kind of a redundant method of transmission so that you're going to be able to get a lot more digital video in cars, live video, you know, to keep the kids happy and so on. If anybody's ever had a TV in a car, you know that it's a nightmare. The multipath and the fading and so on. Well, this supposedly is going to work. What happened was that LG and Samsung were competing against each other, and at the 11th hour, they decided to combine their technologies. So I find that kind of interesting that they're going after this mobile market now. Everything is. And no date has been announced, but there is some serious consideration going on that they're going to try turning off analog television for one day as a test in the state of North Carolina and basically see what kind of chaos it causes. Data on that, yes. Now, there's a lot of things going on that a lot of people, you know, really, I don't think it's sunk in yet. Everybody's going out and buying their digital converters, and, you know, and that's working fine, and everybody's happy. But if you think about it, every VCR, and there are millions of them out there right now, when they go digital, what's going to happen is that you're either going to be forced to get rid of your VCR and buy a DVD recorder, or you're going to go out and you're going to buy a digital box. Again, this is assuming that you're getting your signal off the air, okay? If you put a digital converter ahead of the VCR, it will work on a channel-by-channel basis, but the ability to do multi-channel unattended recording, in other words, scheduling different channels at different times, VCR is not going to work anymore. So this is actually something that I don't think a lot of companies have either realized, or if they did, they're not addressing it. It's going to be quite interesting as this progresses. So I just thought I'd mention that for those of you. I went out and I bought one of the converter boxes, and I do have to say they actually work pretty well. Cost me $59 with a $40 credit, so we'll go from there and see what happens. But for the moment, that's it. We'll turn it back to you, and I'll continue to watch email. WA2FQQ.
Well, you know, this brings up a couple of things, Bob. One, these manufacturers of the set-top converter boxes with digital television, some of them have or will be coming out with a digital video recorder version of it. I believe EchoStar in July is coming out with a DVR version of theirs. Two, this new LG Samsung thing, the new digital television standard, how is that going to jive against the ATSC standard that everybody's going to be using with these new boxes?
Hey, you're talking about EchoStar, Charlie, but again, you're talking satellite now. I'm talking about over the air.
No, I know that. EchoStar has come out with a set-top converter box for digital television, and it's supposed to be coming out with a DVR version of it in July.
I don't know how that's going to work or what's going to happen, but it's going to be very interesting. The other thing is that you know, with digital television, there is program information that's in there, and what I'm noticing is most of these set-top boxes are not making use of that program information. Now, what is interesting is, though, under the system that we're going to be using, the program information, each channel is responsible for their own information. So what you're really going to have to do is kind of go to a particular channel, and then you're just going to have to kind of sit there and wait to download the information. It's going to get kind of interesting. And the other question that I have presented on this net several times is, if you are getting a signal off the air and you're more than 30 or 40 miles outside of New York City, the chances are that unless you've got a very good antenna, you may not be able to receive those UHF channels. Let me let it drop a sec. Then it also brings up the issue of what the industry is referring to as virtual channels. Virtual channels meaning, although, for example, that a particular station might be using UHF channel 52, you know, the idea you know, NBC4 or CBS2, well, they're not on channel 4 or channel 2 anymore. But, you know, that would mean designing new logos and so on and confusing the people even more. So what the industry is going to do is use virtual channels, and even though they're on 52, they're still going to retain their old analog number. Back to you.
Yeah, we wouldn't want to confuse people. All right, but what about the LG Samsung thing? If the digital television standard is going to change, what is it going to do to the people who have these boxes already?
No, it has nothing to do with it. Again, listen, it is a what you're talking about here is they're going to be using the same UHF TV stations, but it is a separate signal, which is aimed at mobile devices, video TV stations in your car. I mean, one of the things that's already been proposed is that ESPN might actually come up, and they would actually have addressable boxes. So it would mean that over the air you can get ESPN for a nominal fee per month. What they're kind of doing is they want to take it over the air, but these are all mobile devices, portable devices like iPods and so on. It wouldn't be for your conventional TV.
All right, well, now it comes down to the bandwidth issue. If they're going to be on the same UHF carrier as the station that they're providing this mobile service for, like you said, Channel 52, all right, is there enough bandwidth to be able to have that plus the regular land-based signal, or are they going to be issued additional UHF channels for the new mobile version?
I need any extra bandwidth. Take, for example, Channel 50 in Montclair, or WSME. I don't know what channel that one is. Channel 50 in Montclair is running 5 digital channels with the way that they're transmitting it for normal over-the-air high def, they can run 5 channels there. So if you look at somebody like ABC, I think ABC is running, 2 channels or 3 channels? So they could easily add more services in there. The other thing is that because they're for mobile devices, I don't think it's going to be real high resolution. So there doesn't seem to be an issue at all as far as adding extra services per channel or per station.
Okay, but there is a finite amount of bandwidth that can be covered in a 6 megahertz wide channel. So you just want to make sure they're not putting themselves in a situation where they're going to either have to dumb down everything to a lower resolution just to fit it in there. The only other alternative is that they would have to have an additional channel, additional UHF channel to put it in.
I don't know how it's going to work, to be honest with you. If you're interested, tomorrow I can forward you the press release that was released yesterday. I got a copy of it, and you can kind of start hunting from there. But I just thought I'd mention it. It brings up some very interesting possibilities.
Okay. Also, anything between 52 and 69 are going to shift down in frequency because that's got to be freed up for the 700 megahertz channel that they just had that auction for. So stations like WNEC have got to go lower.
There's going to be all different things. Now, the other thing I heard was that come February, that the UHF stations right now, all the digital channels, are not running full power. And allegedly, in February, when they actually do switch over, you're going to see a significant increase in power on all the channels. So it's going to be interesting. I'm actually one of the things that I'm planning on doing over the next month. I'm going to go up on the roof and take the TV antenna down and replace it with 2 UHF Yagis, 2 small Yagis that I have. As long as I know the converter is working and I can receive the programming now, I might as well get rid of the ancient antenna and go over to smaller antennas, try it out.
$40 coupon for the boxes and the economic stimulus check coming out, which will devalue your currency anyway. People are going to be buying a lot of Chinese stuff and send the dollars overseas.
That it is. It's going to be interesting. Yeah, I found these converter boxes. I actually went to Best Buy, and it looks like each store is carrying one box. I was hoping to go in there and see a variety of boxes, but I found that Walmart carries one box, and Best Buy carries another one, and Circuit City carries another one. And I looked at them, I did the research, and I found out that there are only 3 distinct chipsets. So it really comes down to pretty much who you want to buy it from, but there's not a whole lot of difference in the boxes which are eligible for the coupons. That's another point. There's a lot of higher-end boxes with a lot of nice features. The $40 bucks, you cannot be applied to those. The only the real low end ones apply to the coupon purchase.
Yeah, and not only that, the coupons are only good for 90 days from the day that they printed them, not necessarily when you got them.
Hello, Mr. Olmstead.
That's not a big deal, though, Charlie. I mean, if you applied for them and you got them after 90 days, the guy didn't even look at my card. It wasn't expired, but didn't even look at it. So you can apply for it in your daughter's name and your wife's name or whatever you want. I've been told already by a few people that the card expires, but if you apply it under another name, there's no problem.
Okay, was it somebody checking in?
It was I. NI2L.
Hey, Mark. Got any comments on the DTV stuff, or do you want to just be put on the list?
Comments on the DTV? Well, yeah, I think, frankly, the set-top box, whilst it is a very common way to go, I think it's the wrong way to go. How much do you like Bob watching CBS in widescreen format? I have what does President Bush call them? A DVR. I built myself one of those using a bit of software called GBPVR, and it's a PC with a bunch of cards in it, stuff like that. And it has the same problem if you're viewing it on just a regular TV. It has to show all of the high def widescreen stuff in letterbox format. You don't really get the true full-on smack you on the nose feeling then, do you? Which, quite frankly, I think is going to be lost on most people anyway, so maybe that's not the damn thing after all. Anyway, so well.
A lot of noise in there with you. I don't know. I think it's going to be an interesting situation, and quite honestly, I think that the Y2K fiasco and the switch with the daylight saving time that really had a lot of consumer electronic companies really wired. They were expecting disasters. I don't think that they're going to be anything compared to the chaos that's going to happen when the analog goes away. You're going to have all these people, I think the only people that are going to make out are going to be the TIC support companies and the service companies. They're going to charge people for saying, oh, there's nothing wrong. Then you'll have the people installing TV antennas. So, yeah, Charlie.
Yeah, the noise on Mark, I think he was bringing up two receivers at the same time because of the head design. Gee, and I used to be in that business. Putting up antennas and dishes and stuff. Might be time to do that again. Anyway, okay, anything else, Mark? Or I'll move on.
Hello. No, not, put me on the list, though.
Okay, well, I'll get you on the list anyway for rotation. Okay, let's see. Let's start for Long Island. W2LIE, N2NLB.
Hi, good evening. I'll just touch real quick on what we've been talking about already. I got my digital TV debit card, as I like to call it. But I was looking at the EchoStar unit itself, the 40-hour one, because it's supposed to pass an analog signal through it anyway, which works out for anybody like myself who has an RF system in the house, so I can have my DVR in the living room and watch on channel 23 in the bedroom, and the receiver in the basement that's on channel 60, I can watch it in the upstairs room on, different channels, so it'll pass that, so I'm told. And if you look at rcrnews.com, you'll see the release on the Samsung and LG digital And I thought that was the same as the media flow, which is already out on the LG and Samsung phones on the AT&T network, and I believe it's the LG on the Verizon network. That runs on 700 megahertz on the Qualcomm digital TV system that's subscription-based. I'm going to let it drop real quick before I get into what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about the air show again real quick. There's no new updates on the Bethpage Federal Credit Union website. There is no schedule out to date yet. But what I did find was the Marines are definitely coming back into Long Island. They're going to do their flyover. That's going to happen Saturday the 24th at Eisenhower Park from 10 a.m. to noon. And they're going to be flying over two high schools on Long Island on Tuesday, May 27th. You're looking at Freeport High School from 9 to 11 and Westbury High School from 2 to 4. And last week I promised you the frequencies that I picked up on my quick call. You're either looking at 315.375 or 315.400, both in AM. I threw the radio at my uncle as I was taking pictures of the helicopters coming in. So I don't know exactly which one's off-centered or not. But it's a quick call, definitely logged both frequencies, and you were able to hear them come flying overhead. You didn't really hear them come in before they were before you actually heard them over the air, over you flying. You heard them over the air on the radio. Back to net. This is W2LE.
Okay, whose helicopters were these that you heard on those two channels?
The United States Marine Corps, last year they had the Seahorse, the Cobra, and I want to call it the Five. They all came in together last year, and they did the fast repelling from the ropes.
Okay,
well,
great. Got it. As you were describing what you have as far as receiver in different rooms and pumping out on your house and UHF channels, you sure I didn't install that back in the late 80s? I used to do that for my customers all over Long Island.
W2CMA. Yeah, no, that one, that's my little rat's nest in the corner. Trust me on that one. So, yeah, it works good, and I don't want to give that up. So I'm definitely looking for a digital box that will pass an analog signal. So, and also to add, too, I have, I filtered down the monitoring times air show PDF to just what's happening on Long Island. So I put that frequency up online as well on my website.
Oh, is there somebody else?
Via Trust QQ. Is anybody on the net this evening that owns a 996?
I do own one of those, and I still have.
Okay. You know, it's real easy, and I'm reading the manual here, except this manual is like from hunger. Got New Jersey State Police programmed in, okay? And basically I created, you know, multiple groups. You know, the search and rescue group, and this group, and that group. So I got a total of 9 groups. While it's scanning, if I want to lock out one of the groups, let's say group number 5, well, if you hit key number 5, it's not going to lock out the group. What's the trick in this thing from the front panel to be able to lock out a group within a trunk system?
Yes, I don't know. You've got me. I knew you were going to ask me a programming question. I kept my mouth shut. I don't know. I must admit, I programmed mine one time, and I've never touched it since. You know, it's I find it very what's the word I'm looking for? Very intimidating.
You got it. W2I.
LIE go.
What you have is you programmed in a system. Within the system, you programmed in the groups, the subgroups. So say, just Sake of argument, the system you're scanning is in bank one. When you press one, it turns the system on and off, correct?
Correct. And then you've got a site, and I programmed in a site, and then I created nine groups. So I want to turn off group number five.
Okay. As long as you put quick keys in for those nine groups, what you're going to do is while the scanner says the alpha tag for group for system one, which is whatever you named it, while that alpha tag is up, push the wheel in and then push the key that relates to the group. So your system one, and you want to lock out five, while scanning system one, push in the wheel and hit five, and it'll lock out group five for you.
All right, so the missing step was push the wheel in. I knew it had to be something like that. Thank you very much.
W8QSQ.
Like hitting a control key on the keyboard. Well, I'll have one if I get some bugs together. Maybe I'll sell some of these other scanners I have, if anybody's interested. Drop me an email. All right, let's see. It's 9:31 local. Let's say bye for additional check-ins. This is N2 will be with Shortwave and Scanner Listeners Net. If you're not able to check in on the air, drop us an email. And the email address is nycxa@yahoo.com. So space it out, and we'll take additional check-ins and then continue with the list.
Is it you, Dan? Yeah, Bob. I'm just gonna tell you how to do that because I got the 15 in it. Basically, the non-digital version of the 992.
QKS. Kilo Papa 4, Mike Whiskey, reach with no traffic.
Alright, so far I've got KC2GIK and KP4MW. Anybody else?
KC2, 2KS, Bob.
NET, no traffic.
All right, I didn't get the prefix, so I need to call again.
K1NET, no traffic.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm just hearing the stuff that you're cutting yourself off from the beginning. Key up, wait a second or two, and then give the whole call time.
K1NET, no traffic.
Good, got that time. It's a linked repeater system, so we have to add that extra second or two in there. Okay, K1NET. QKS, did you have traffic or not?
I did, N2NOV.
Okay, right. Anybody else? Okay. Continuing with the list, next one up is N1MLZ. Evening, Bob. How's it going up here in Connecticut? N1LV.
Yeah, N2NLV, N1MLZ. Good evening, Charlie, Bob, and everybody else on the net. Thanks for having the net here again. Yeah, everything's going good up here, Charlie, in Connecticut. I've been monitoring that closed guard auxiliary frequency for quite a while now, and I kind of made up a little list here of who I hear, and figured I'd share it with you. 150.700, of course, is the new frequency that they started after New Year. Well, actually, it was being used before that, but officially after New Year. 150.700. Here's the list of what I found so far. The New Haven local to me right here is TO118.8 repeater, local to me here in New Haven, Connecticut. The East repeater, Eastern Long Island, is 151.4 PO. The Babylon repeater, Babylon Long Island, I guess that's NASA, I think, 131.8. In fact, they were doing a roll call just at 9 o'clock. I just got started. And, as they do usually every, I think it's every second or third Wednesday of the month they have a big thing. And also on Thursday night, they also have a roll call. Some of these repeaters do. And continuing on, the Central repeater, Central Long Island, 136.5 PL. Let me go drop. And a couple more, the West repeater. I believe it's the West repeater. I think I heard them specify it as that. It's 141.3. 141.3. And the last one I heard so far is the Mid-Hudson Valley repeater. 186.2. And I've heard Yonkers radio on that one, so I guess it's out that way. Westchester County, 186.2 PL. And that's what I've gathered so far in the, on that frequency there, Charlie. Back to that, N1MLZ.
Yeah, they have been expanding a bit, Bob. The thing that a lot of people don't quite understand is that they are not linked together. They're all independent standalone machines that have slightly overlapping coverage areas. So that's why they have different PL talks, even though they're using the same same repeater pair. Let's see. Yeah, West is 131.8, Central is 136.5, East is 151.4, New Haven 118.8, Hudson 186.2. The Babylon one is new to me. Yeah, I don't know what 141.3 is. I didn't have that on my list. That's a new one. Maybe they added another machine. The only other one I had in my list was all the way up in Lake George, but you'll never hear it down here.
Don't say never. okay, so you straightened me out there. 131.8 is West then. Okay, I've always heard Babylon on there. I never heard him say West repeater, but okay, very good. And the, 141.3 here comes in about S4, S5 here, so pretty strong. I'm not really sure who it is, but I'll keep my ears open. And I thought it was West, but I guess not. 131.8 is West then. Very good, Charlie. I'll keep listening here. And I've heard a couple of Jersey ones, but never got the PLs. I never got the other radio hooked up in time to catch the PL. And my HT here is just a ham HT. It doesn't have a PL where it catches it. So I didn't get the chance to hook the other radio up in time. But there's a couple more in New Jersey I've heard. And did catch it up. Very good, Charlie.
What I think you might want to do, Bob, is just put the radio and PLV code on and sit it on 141.3. Typically, they'll announce which repeater they're on when they bring it up. And this way, it lets somebody else know, you know, if they're listening on a scanner, which one they should turn to in their radio. Because they have programmed in their radios one in each separate channel position. I'd be curious to see where 141.3 really is. And as far as nets are concerned, I know they, for a long time, they had a monthly net on Thursday night. The third Thursday of the month. And they were trying to have something on Mondays for a while, but I don't know if that actually flew, because they weren't getting much of a turnout.
Thanks, Charlie.
Who is that? Okay, Bob,
anything else? No, very good, Charlie. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll put it on decode 141.3 and find out who that is. But it definitely, I've heard it a few times, not just once, so it's somebody. And yeah, the Thursday night, it's the third week, you're correct, and for some reason tonight, I for the first time I heard a West repeater there, 131.8, like I said, 9 o'clock, they were doing the same type roll call, so maybe they're splitting it up a little, instead of having everything on one night there, so that's interesting. Interesting stuff. Yeah, I also heard 143.475, I believe, at the top of my head. I heard it on, I was up at DTO today and I heard it. The Simplex, local gentleman here in my area, was trying to raise somebody on that frequency, Simplex. So that's one of the frequencies that's on the list. And I put them all in, and sure enough, that popped up. And there was no PL, he wasn't using a PL, it was a Simplex with the carrier squawks, so. Just thought to leave that one in, too, and listen to these good guys. All right, back to you there, Charlie.
Yeah, the Simplex channels are not supposed to have a PL tone at all. Yeah, 143.475 is like a national assigned Simplex channel. So everybody's got it. There are two other ones that are listed frequency-wise in master database that we got of all the federal frequencies like a year ago. 138.475 and 142.825. Not too sure how they're going to use those, probably for a special thing, you know, type of special event or something.
Yeah, I guess with the summer coming up, we'll hear a lot more coming on the online there, so, especially when they help out with the firework displays and stuff, I'm sure it'll be active then.
Yep. And now we just got to concentrate on Civil Air Patrol now, see how they're using their new frequency. They've got probably about 10 frequencies, I think. Okay, S2Q, anything else in the email?
W-H-O-S-Q-Q?
I counting my ears at once. But that's down the road.
Now, I was at line one of Dylan's songs back in the 60s. The times, they are changing. And so are the police, the fire, and everybody else. Okay, thank you. KC2QKS, go with your traffic, correct?
Good evening, Charlie. Some good news tonight. I just got back from taking my general exam and I passed. So I got a nice gut feeling in my head right now, and that feels really good. I took an up with Rabina and her crew. One of the guys up there was one of my Brooklyn guys. He gave me his call sign, but I didn't pick up on it. But it was quite a crew that showed up. Believe it or not, there must have been about 6-7 people taking different levels of exam. So I feel good tonight. I'm joining the group. Moved up a click and really happy about that. Back to Ned.
Well, you know what's going to happen next, Frank? You're going to have this empty feeling in your wallet. Hey, good for you. Okay, good. Now start pulling towards the catalogs and figuring out how you're going to build out everything. Got to get nice scanner here, nice HF rig that's a short wave, do some digital stuff, put a nice antenna. And we're all going through the same thing. But Mark and I, NI2O and I, were talking about the Deadcat 996, which Bob just questioned the key sequence. And sure, I'd like to get one. And I have too many scanners here already. I got to sell off some of this stuff. That's going to be a step-by-step process. And we all go through it. So will you too, Frank.
One of my favorite spots to transmit. I'm sitting on my front steps. Looks like it might rain tonight, but can't tell on that. But get work on my shack a little bit, come up with a few dollars and see what I can do. Back to Ned.
Okay, let's see. Bob's back.
WQSQQ,
that's what I'll be.
Thanks, Charlie. I'm sorry. My wife was calling me, and I had to run there. Couldn't even notice. Nothing new on the email. I do have one more question, though, regarding to New Jersey State Police System. I just want to... can I ask it at this time, or you want me to wait?
Matter of fact.
Okay. I have Troop B programmed in, and, you know, everything works fine. There's no problem. Now, what's interesting was I was reading some comments on radio reference, where they had 2COM, 3COM, 4COM, 5COM from Troop C in the central part of New Jersey. Well, if I put those talk group IDs in the Troop B system, Troop C comes through loud and clear. So, there, if you want simulcasting it or whatever. My question is, I haven't tried it yet, but if I put in talk groups from Troop A down near Atlantic City, are they consistently simulcast on the system, or I'm not quite sure what's going on here?
Well, the way it's been explained to me is that if a unit that is normally in Troop A happens to be in the Troop B area, he affiliates with the system, and then his talk groups will all come over.
So as long as somebody from down there is up here, it works?
Yep, that's what I've been led to believe. It's not all the time turned on, though I would think some talk groups which are common to all three might be active. you know, let's say the Attorney General's office or something, or, I don't know, a hazmat group or something like that. You know, they might turn all of them on and leave them on, but typically if it's a particular user that's from one area and they go into the next, they reaffiliate with the new system, which of course is going to be at no frequency. And once they reaffiliated with the system, then all the intro call groups would be shuttled across and simulcast on that system as long as they are there.
Okay. Yeah, I thought I knew it all, but the more I start playing with this thing, the more more questions I have, and the only consistency seems to be inconsistency. So, okay, now I just did a major reprogramming of my 996 here, with Intel software, and it's working fine. I broke it up, divvied up, and it's working just fine. But I was just curious about that, so I'm actually going to just create another subgroup in there. And put 2, 3, 4, and 5 com from the other systems so that if they work, they work, and if they don't, they don't. Kind of interesting the way it works, though. Okay, BHYCQ.
Yeah, that's my plan when I get a 996, Bob, is to do the same thing, is put every single New Jersey State System talk group in there with the frequencies of the system that I hear best. And if they happen to come across in this area, all of a sudden that talk group will come alive.
Let me just pass a few more comments here real quick about this. For one, I liquidated a lot of stuff over here and actually got a second one because I kept pulling it from the house to the car and the house to the car, so I now have one permanently mounted in the car and one in the house. It actually came up a few bucks a head after I got rid of everything, so it worked out good. What was I going to say now? I'm just going to mention something else about the trunk system now. I just had a quick memory lapse. I don't believe this. All right, go ahead, take it, and I'll... when I remember what I was going to comment on, I'll jump back in and let you know. Oh, no, I know what it was. Hang on. Those of you who have a 996 and may not know it, there is two firmware updates that recently came out. The way it works is you have to first upgrade to version 1.4. That will give you a new menu item where it displays an electronic serial number and a memory checksum value. You then go and register the scanner on Uniden's page. They're going to ask you for the electronic serial number, the physical serial number, and the checksum value. And once you do that, you click on it and it will generate an installation key. You write that down. Then you'll get a link to version 2.0, which is a major firmware update. Number one, it dramatically improves APCO 25 audio. And when I say dramatically, I think my 996 is very close to my Spectra Plus or my XPS 3000. Audio is very, very good. The other thing that it does, which is kind of neat, in the upper right-hand corner of the display, when you adjust the volume and squelch, you also get a number now from 0 to 20 or whatever it is, so you can adjust your squelch and your volume by that number. You know, you don't have to wait for them to start talking, which is kind of neat. And it also improves the DSP processing for analog channels. So I noticed that signals that are low in signal strength now have very, very little white noise and hiss on them. They've taken that out, so... If you have a 996, go through the trouble of upgrading the firmware. Dramatic improvement, and it's free. Page West, good kid.
Bob, have they issued the rebanding cable for Motorola?
I don't think so. If they have, it's not mentioned in the update notes. And that was what I was thinking that 2.0 was going to be because, it says major update. They took away, or I should say they got rid of a few little bugs. You know, for example, if you stop on a channel right now on a trunk system,
What it used to do is it used to restart by going one channel back and then rescanning. It was weird the way it worked. So now what happens if it stops, it will continue right from the next channel. All little quirks, but it really is working well. I think the APCO 25, I took the two radios side by side. I had the Yonkers, and I was just using a whip on the back. And, you know, in those conditions, Yonkers is not that strong over here in Jersey. On the one radio, I was getting, infrequent burps, and it was digital, and it sounded digital. On the radio with 2.0 in there, it was consistent, loud and clear, and no digital burps.
Nice, nice. Something to look forward to.
996 and 396 have that new firmware, so either of those two radios, I highly recommend that you jump through the hoops and do what they want and put it in there.
996s and 396s and the other unit and dynamic memory scanners. You might want to check out a free software package called BC Tool, I guess for Bearcat Tool, at bctool.org. The author is in England, and I really think it's nicer than Butel, and it's free, and it's a real nice piece of software, and the virtual scanner or remote radio control, and it works really well, but even more than that, you know, Butel, they do a lot of contract software, and then they make whatever money they can off the local scanner enthusiast. So when you ask that guy to add a feature or fix a bug, 9 out of 10 times you get back the answer of no. Well, when you ask the BC Tool author, whose name is Rob Parker, 10 out of 10 times you get yes, and very, very responsive. And really a nice package. He's only had it out for about, 9 months, and it's already in pretty superb condition.
What is the name of this program? I just did a search on BC as in broadcast, BC Tool, but I'm not coming up with it. Have you got information where to download it?
www.bctool.org.
Is it tool singular or tools with the letter S?
Singular.
Just download it. It's a very nice webpage, really. I have to look. I think you got tip of the night, maybe tip of the month.
I got
Give it a look. Give it a look, because I think, you know, in the beginning you might say, you know how it is when you're used to one program and you go to another. It takes a little time, but he also has a Yahoo group to discuss the software. But I think you ought to give it a look. It's very sweet.
Yeah, it looks like you just came out with the new version, 1.3, a couple of days ago. It says here, tens of new features, stability improvements, performance improvements, etc. I like the screenshot.
Yeah, and you know, the guy is very friendly, very nice, and really, you ask him to fix something or you ask him for a feature and he really gives it serious thought, and probably in a week you have it.
All right, thanks for bringing that one to us, Don. Bob's right. This is like a major tip.
Cool. enjoy. Steve KTV was the first one to discover it a couple of months ago, and he's been playing with it, and he turned me on to it. Now I have his 996, so I've been using it. And it's one program, and you can just plug in your 396 or your 996, you know, or your... He supports all the DMA scanners from Uniden in the one program. And it's free.
Okay, cool. All right, any listener check-in? It's 10 o'clock. This is N20B with the shortwave and scan the listener set. Okay. Bob, anything in the email?
Bingo, you know, Charlie. That's it, I think, for this week. WA2SKQ.
Okay. Well, nothing else, and we'll say 7-3 to everybody. We'll catch you next week. Next week is beginning of Fleet Week. So, you know what that means. Marine band, military aircraft band, local police and fire departments, whenever there's activity going on. Certainly prime time for doing searching. Dust off that search button. Make use of it. You'll find some interesting things. So we'll catch you next Wednesday night. 7:30, everybody. And so I'll be clear.